Just a couple of quick points on Genesis, because it's a deep story for us to think about, and then we'll talk about some of the qualities and how Jesus wants his church, those he sends out in his name, to live and act. So Genesis, quickly, we're finishing the story of Joseph, and just catch the parallel, okay? So how God is at work behind human action, first of all, like we think, oh my gosh, this is so unfair, this is so terrible that Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt. Where was God when that happened? Well, God didn't necessarily want that sin of the brothers of Joseph, and yet God would use that to do something greater that could not have happened without that sin. And that's how God works. In the midst of evil, which God doesn't do evil, God nevertheless has the last word over evil, and it's a much better word. He does great things behind our human actions. Even our failings and our sins are sometimes ways through which he still can work. And then the parallel, of course, Joseph, the favorite beloved son, sold, I think it was 30 pieces of silver, don't quote me on that, but I think that's what it was, into slavery, basically sold into death, and then suddenly finding himself raised up by the king to be the source of salvation from the famine for the entire world, the entire known world. Like, that story would have been a nice story for the Israelites, the Jewish people, and yet it was also priming them, you could say, to understand the full story. Because that's our story. That's the real story of God and his own beloved son and our salvation, not from one famine, but from the utter disease of sin, like we talked about yesterday. So that image of the Old Testament always priming us to understand the New Testament. You can recognize the new hidden in the old and the old fully revealed in the new. Look at Matthew's gospel, how it shows us this moment of Jesus sending the church, his 12 apostles. We started this yesterday, it's continued today. He's sending them, and the message is clear. The kingdom of heaven is now among you. You could ask the church, really? I don't see it. Where is it? How do you know? And we just know because God told us to say it. That's why we do it. Why does the church preach its message? Because Jesus said to. What happens when you don't see the kingdom of God? You go to Jesus, who told you to preach that the kingdom of God is now with you. When we talk about that, the Mass is an overlap, a tapping into that kingdom, it's because we know the kingdom of God is now with us. We believe in it, even like St. Thomas, without seeing. We've learned our lesson. And then he says, I know, I'm sorry, Ellie, we'll finish quickly. Just the qualities. Jesus doesn't always act according to human logic. We need to learn that. Sometimes we sit there and say, well, what does God want me to do? Well, what's the logical thing to do? That's not always the first starting point. Listen, what is God telling you to do? The first thing you do is listen. And here Jesus says, when you go on this journey, it's going to take a few weeks. When you go on your trip, your summer trip for like a week, what do you pack? Like two suitcases or three? And like Jesus sends his apostles, nope, no walking stick, no second tunic. Wait, no change of clothes? Yes, you're going to Jerusalem and your luggage isn't going with you. It's going to stink. Kind of happened. But it's okay, because sometimes that's our Lord can work with that. And our Lord commanded his disciples, it's going to be hard, but without cost you have received. Even when it's hard, you are to give. When people think you're awesome because of what you live and do, and when they don't, do it anyway, because you received it freely. Give it freely, even when it hurts. And he's talking about like showing them a life of witness to God is faithful. If I forget my tunic or I don't have another walking stick, it'll work out because my God is faithful. He wanted his apostles, his church, each one of us to give that witness. Even though we live in First World America, we don't have to have everything that First World America can give us because there's a beauty of witnessing to the poverty of the gospel. That's why St. Francis was such a fan of poverty for the gospel. And then lastly, kind of hard, but those who don't receive you, they're not to receive Holy Communion. They're excommunicated. Wait, the church is exclusive like that? Shake the dust from your feet as testimony against them? Think about it real quick. When the apostles, let's imagine that a scene when the apostles shook the dust from their feet and walked away. You think there was maybe some hope that a few people in that town who rejected them might have thought, wait, I'm sorry. Maybe it was an invitation. Hey, you really do need to change your ways. It wasn't meant to be, oh, that's it, you're done. It's meant to be, hey, realize and turn back. But yeah, our Lord commanded the apostles, do that. Whose fault is it that that town might be excluded? The apostles' fault? Or their own fault for not embracing the gift that was offered? When someone's excluded, quote unquote excluded, who's doing the excluding? They themselves who say, I won't go to confession before I receive communion. I'm not sorry for my ways. Well, that's fine. But the church says, don't receive communion right now. There's an exclusion of a self-exclusion. That's so judgmental. Now, you can say what you want, but our Lord makes it clear. That's not something the church invented in the Middle Ages. Our Lord was clear. There needs to be a readiness and a willingness to receive his message in order to receive his gifts. And if we reject his teachings and his message, then we need to hesitate before receiving what is ultimately a sign that I am in full communion with the ways of Jesus Christ when I'm not in full communion with the ways of Jesus Christ. The church doesn't want anyone to be excluded. But we ourselves need to be willing to include all of Jesus' teachings in order to be included in all of his gifts. Otherwise, he's the one who says, warn them, shake the dust from your feet as testimony against them. You've done something wrong, you need to change. Please change. We ask the Holy Spirit to open our minds to realize the way we are called to live as Christians, as those sent to represent him, to towns and villages that don't yet know him, those who may have the wrong idea about him. We are called to witness when it's easy or when it's hard, for freely you and I have received, freely you and I are to give, to teach, to warn, to caution, to feed, to nourish. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.